Elhamdülillahi ve kefâ. Vessalatu vesselamu ala ibadihillezine istafa. Hususan ala afdalihim ve hatimin nebiyyin. Muhammedin el-Amin ve ala alihi ve sahbihi ecma'in ve ba'd. Fa'auzu billahi mineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. ونزلنا عليك الكتاب تبيانا لكل شيء تبيانا لكل شيء تبيانا لكل شيء وهدى ورحمة وبشرى للمسلمين صدق الله العظيم. We begin with Allah's blessed name. We praise Him and we glorify Him as He ought to be praised and glorified. And we pray for peace and for blessings on all His noble messengers, and in particular on the last of them all, the Blessed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As we greet you here at Surau Villa Bistaro, mashallah. With Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our topic is entitled Gog and Magog, Ya'juj and Ma'juj in the Quran and Hadith. And we began with an ayah of the Quran, part of an ayah of the Quran of Surah An-Nahl, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared, and we sent down this book. Send it down on thee, O Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that it might explain all things. And we repeated it three times. That this book has come to explain all things. And so if there is universal facade all over the world today, facade, of course, is that which corrupts and corrupts to such an extent that it destroys. And for this Allah has reserved the most terrible punishment of all. If there is universal facade all over the world today, political facade, economic facade, monetary facade, facade in entertainment, facade in the bedroom, and you cannot recognize that facade, you should go back to school. And if you recognize that there is universal facade today, and you don't go to the Quran to search for the explanation, you should go back to school. Because Allah says that He sent the Quran to explain all things. He sent the Quran to explain all things. You'll have to forgive me if I keep on repeating certain things, because I've been saying it for 20 years now and they can't hear me. So I have to repeat and again and again and again. Quraysh did not know how to determine the validity of the claim of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi, that he was indeed a prophet as he claimed. So they sent a delegation, intelligently so, to the rabbis in the northern city of Yathrib. Tell us, how can we determine whether or not he is indeed a prophet like unto Ibrahim alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Suleiman alayhi salam? So they said, ask him these three questions. Thank you, Zaki, thank you. Yeah. Ask him these three questions, which only a Nabi can answer. So not even What is it called now? Not even Yale and Harvard and the Sorbonne, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, not Oxford or Cambridge or the International Islamic University, only a prophet can answer, no one else. So what kind of questions are these? That the knowledge does not exist in this world? No. And one of the questions was, ask him about the ruh, the spirit. And now we understand that this question is connected with Dajjal, the spirit. We explained that last night, the Tawfiq Center. And then ask him about the great traveler who traveled to the two ends of the land. And then ask him about the young man and the cave. You'll have to excuse me that I have to sip some coffee because I'm tired and I'm sleepy. I'm not getting enough sleep. Ask him about the young man and the cave. And Allah sent down the answers. But He sent them in two surahs of the Quran. He sent two of the answers in Surah Al-Kahf. And He sent the third answer in Surah Al-Isra, which is the surah before Surah Al-Kahf, indicating that these two surahs constitute a pair. If these two surahs constitute a pair, and if we have to recite the whole Quran once a month, you know that, don't you? Answer me. So you are teaching your children, aren't you, to recite the whole Quran once a month? This is your first duty to the Quran. First. All the others come after this. The first duty to the Quran is to recite the whole Quran in Arabic once a month. If you can do better than that, yes. So you'll have to divide the Quran into 30 parts and you recite one juz every day. So on the day when you come to Surah Al-Isra, you'll want to combine it with Surah Al-Kahf because they are a pair. So you now have to look to see how you recite the Quran, but I don't have the time tonight to go through that again. No. I did it at Masjid Umar ibn al-Khattab already. So two answers in Surah Al-Kahf and one answer in Surah Al-Isra. And we already explained to you last night that the question concerning the ruh is connected with Dajjal. And for that, if you don't know, you have to go to my latest book entitled The Quran, Dajjal, and the Jasad, correct. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the answers, notice that nothing happens in the Quran by accident. But you have to be a keen observer. And you have to be someone who is serious in your attachment with the Quran. And you cannot betray the truth in the Quran and expect that the Quran will open its wisdom to you. Do I need to say more? There are those who betray the truth so that their business can survive. Also, they can keep a job so their name might not go on a no-fly list, that they would not be called terrorists and so on. They are those who sit on the fence when it comes to truth. When Allah says He sent this ummah with a mission, Amar bil ma'ruf, if it is the truth, if it is right, stand up for it, regardless of the price you have to pay. And nahi anil munkar, this is our mission. If it is wrong, if it is false, if it is unjust, if it is a mountain of lies, stand up against it, regardless of the price you have to pay. Yes, if you do not betray the truth, if you are faithful to the truth, then Allah will open the doors of understanding of the Quran. And so, when they ask the question about the ruh, we could recognize that it was connected with Dajjal. And when they ask the question about the great traveler, notice the methodology that Allah first repeats the question and then He answers it. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ, and they question thee about the ruh, and then He answers. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ, He repeats the question, and then He answers it. But number three, He doesn't do that. He's silent on number three, when He gives a story about the young men in the cave. Is this by accident? No. Something is, in French they say, caché. Something is being covered. And if you want to know it, you've got to take off the covering to understand that number three is about Dajjal. So our topic tonight is about the great traveler. And this led us to Gog and Magog. And only a prophet would know about Gog and Magog, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting amongst his companions. No, sorry. He passed by and he found them talking amongst themselves. And he asked, what are you talking about? And they said, we're talking about the signs of the last day. And then he said the last day would not come. And then he mentioned 10. But these 10 are not given in the chronological sequence in which they will occur. Number one, Dajjal. Number two, Gog and Magog. Number three, the return of the son of Mary, Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, he's the son of a Punjabi woman. The return of the son of Mary. Number four, Dukhan, or smoke. Number five, Dabbatul Ard, a beast of the earth, who will wound you, who will damage you, who will cause damage to you. Taklimuhum. But somebody said, Tukalimuhum. And number six, that the sun would rise from the west. Number seven, eight, and nine, three earthquakes. But these are earthquakes in which the earth sinks down and swallows what it swallows. Khas, plural khusuf. One in the east, one in the west, and one in Arabia. Although you did have one here in Taman. Was it Taman? It was Ramadan and the whole house went down, you remember? Oh, you're too young to know that. The whole house went down, yeah, right here, in KL. So one in the east, one in the west, and one in Arabia. And number 10, that a fire will come out of Yemen and drive people to their place of assembly. So we know that Gog and Magog is one of the major signs of the last day. The major signs of the last day. And if you want to get knowledge about the signs of the last day, where do you go to first of all? You go to the Quran. Am I right or am I wrong? And you have to forgive me if sometimes you see anger in me. Yes, you have to forgive me. If you want to have knowledge about Gog and Magog, where do you go to first? Do you go to the Hadith first or do you go to the Quran? Well, tell them for me, please. You go first to the Quran. That's where you go for knowledge. Go to the Quran. What are you afraid of the Quran? Why don't you go to the Quran? And when you go to the Quran, you don't go as a schoolboy. And this will be our topic on Sunday, inshallah, Ahad. The venue is no longer the Medina Institute in Wang Samaju. The venue is now changed to KLCC. So the same venue for Saturday and the same venue for Sunday. But Saturday is 2 o'clock and Sunday probably 4 o'clock, all the way until Maghrib. So on Sunday, we will do the subject of methodology for study of the Quran, inshallah. When you go to the Quran, you mustn't go as a schoolboy. Allah didn't send down this Quran to be studied by schoolboys. He sent down this Quran for a people who think, لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And he has taught a methodology for study of the Quran. So you don't take any one verse of the Quran in isolation and come to a conclusion pursuing to knowledge. No. You have to go to the totality of the book. Get all the data on that subject. And since the Quran is non-contradictory, it does not contradict itself. Nothing in the Quran contradicts anything else in the Quran. So you have to bring all the data in the Quran together, integrated as a harmonious whole. And for that you need more than the rational faculty. You need more than the rational faculty. You need to see with not only these eyes, but you also need to see with the internal eye. And the internal eye would not see without Noor. Yes, you have your PhD, I know that. But I'm saying to you, the internal eye would not see without Noor. And Noor is not sold in the supermarket. Allah bestows Noor to whomsoever He wishes. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And when Allah gives you Noor, then وَعَلَّمْنَاهُ مِنْ لَدُنَّ عِلْمًا, then knowledge will come from above. Knowledge will be internally received in addition to externally acquired. And when these two oceans of knowledge are integrated harmoniously, where would you be? You'll be at Majma'ul Bahrain, mashallah. And there at Majma'ul Bahrain, you will find the most learned of all men. Not the one with the PhD. And when you have that proper methodology, and you've understood the subject from the Quran, then you go to the hadith. When a hadith, despite the fact it has been graded to be sahih, when a hadith is in harmony with the Quran, you can close your eyes, accept it, and expand your database. What do you do when your hadith is in conflict with the Quran? Let our Prophet, Allah's blessing be upon him, married a child. What do you do when a hadith is in conflict? Manifest, plain, clear conflict with the Quran. Answer, you put it away. And when a hadith is neither in harmony nor in conflict, like most of the hadith on which the Shia have built their effect, what do you do? Yes, you accept it, but you do not use a hadith which is neither in harmony nor in conflict to divide the ummah. You don't divide yourself from your brothers over these ahadiths. And so when we go to the Quran to study Gog and Magog, and I have a book outside on the subject, I need to bring out another edition. Because when I wrote the first edition, I did not know the distinction between the Soviet Union and Russia. and I made a mistake. In the second edition, I corrected the mistake. But since then, knowledge has expanded. So I need to write a third edition of that book. When we go to the Quran to study the subject of Gog and Magog, we find only two references in the Quran. Only two. Only two. So it should not be difficult. The first reference, of course, is in Surah Al-Kahf. And the second, where? Al-Anbiya, mashallah. Javed flew all the way from Bangkok to be here tonight. Yeah. The second is in Surah Al-Anbiya. The second one says, "Ba'adhu billahi min ash-shaytan al-rajim." وَحَرَامٌ عَلَىٰ قَرِيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا. Allah speaks of a town which He destroyed. And having destroyed the town, He expelled the people of the town and then placed a ban on them. أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. That they can never return to reclaim this town as their own. Well, you can come back as tourists, okay. But you cannot return to reclaim this town as your own. Hatta, until when? Idha futihat, futihat, futihat. Idha futihat Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. Until Gog and Magog are released. He didn't say sent. He didn't say ba'atha. He said futihat. Until Gog and Magog are released. وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ حَدَبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ. And they spread out all over the world. Only then would these people be brought back to this town to reclaim it as their own. So which town is it? 20 years ago I wrote Jerusalem in the Quran. 20 years ago I argued the case that the town is Jerusalem. Yes. The book has been read by large numbers of people all over the world. It has been translated to so many languages, but the scholars of Islam have ignored me and ignored my book. So today I say, it's time for me to move on. Let me leave them. I can, if I want, take some time to provide for you how I came to the conclusion that the town is Jerusalem. But I think you already recognize that it is Jerusalem. And that when the Jews are brought back to Jerusalem, 2,000 years after they had been expelled, and after living in exile for 2,000 years, when the Jews are brought back to Jerusalem, the Quran must explain that, because Allah says He sent the Quran to explain all things. So we have an explanation. They don't, but we do. That this is Gog and Magog bringing them back to the Holy Land. Who brought the Jews back to the Holy Land to reclaim it as their own? Understand? Who is it? Modern Western civilization. And so Gog and Magog are located within modern Western civilization. Have I identified the two? No, I've not done that. I've not said that modern Western civilization is Gog and Magog. Did I say that? No. I said Gog and Magog are located within modern Western civilization. But mine has remained a solitary voice for 20 years now. No one else. No one else has come forward. No scholar of Islam has come forward in 20 years to say, yes, Imran is right. So now let's go to Surah Al-Kahf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is answering the question about the great traveler. And he repeats the question, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِي الْقَرْنَيْنِ. And they question me about someone who is known as Dhulqarnain. That's not his name. That's not his name. I don't know his name. And I don't want to know his name. It's not important to me. He's known as Dhulqarnain. And Qarn can mean a horn. And Qarn can mean a generation, a people, an epoch, an age. So which one is it? The possessor of two horns? Or someone who will impact on two ages? Which one is it? Proper methodology is, since this is located in the Quran, let's go to the Quran. Let the Quran answer the question. And when we go to the Quran, we find that Allah has always used the word Qarn to mean a generation, an age, an epoch, and has never used the word Qarn to mean horn. So the answer is, Dhulqarnain is not one with two horns. Dhulqarnain is one who impacts on two ages, two peoples. He is someone who possesses faith. Faith in Allah, the one God. We do not know which Sharia he follows. We do not know who is his Nabi. But that's not important. All that we need to know about him is that he has faith in the one God. That's all. But in addition to that, Allah has bestowed upon him power. And with that power, he can pursue whatsoever objective he chooses to pursue. And so now, when power rests on the foundations of faith, how is power used? Are the presidents of the United States listening? Are the prime ministers of Britain listening? Are the presidents of France listening? Is the chancellor of Germany listening? Is the Australian prime minister listening? Is Singapore listening? When power rests on the foundation, oh, I forgot India. When power rests on the foundations of faith, how is power used? He travels in the direction of the setting of the sun, so he's going west. This is the first journey. And the second journey, the rising of the sun, so he's going east. Okay? And he comes to a body of water, so he cannot go any further. If there is a body of water stopping him on this side, and if he travels to the two ends of the land, then there must be a body of water on that side stopping him as well. So we're looking now geographically for a strip of land, one end of which ends with water, and the second end of which ends in water to the east and to the west. When he reaches to the end of the land where the water is, the setting of the sun, he comes across a body of water which is hamiya, meaning visibility is very shallow. So it is dark and murky. When he travels to the other end, it has to be another body of water. And then he goes on a third journey. And on that third journey, he goes to a pass between the mountain ranges. So from this body of water to that body of water is a solid range of mountains. and in between there is a pass. And that's the direction of his third journey, where he encounters Gog and Magog. But when Allah releases Gog and Magog, the Prophet ﷺ said, the first of them will pass by the Sea of Galilee on their way to Jerusalem. If you're going to pass by the Sea of Galilee on the way to Jerusalem, you've got to come from the north. Mm-hmm. You did geography at school, didn't you? So we're talking about a body of water to the north of the Holy Land, north on the western side and north on the eastern side, and a mountain range between these two mountains, between these two bodies of water. So that when they are released, they'll be coming down south and they'll pass by the Sea of Galilee on the way to Jerusalem. The commentators of the Quran did geography. Ibn Kathir did geography. And they came to the conclusion that that body of water, which was dark and murky, was the Black Sea. And in fact, it still has that name to this day, the Black Sea. I don't need to pursue the subject any further. So we're now in a geographical region with which we are now comfortable. This is the Black Sea, and that is the Caspian Sea, and in between are the Caucasus Mountains. And there's only one pass in the Caucasus Mountains, only one, and it's called the Dariel Gorge. Mm-hmm. So the first journey is towards the Black Sea. And in the region of the Black Sea, power now rests on the foundations of faith. This is the first current. But there are two currents. It's Karnain. One gone and one to come. So in the second current, the one to come, power will once again rest on the foundations of faith in the region of the Black Sea. And Crimea commands the Black Sea. Is it ticking now? Am I tickling your intellect? Are you beginning to understand the historical process unfolding before your eyes? Yes, Crimea controls the Black Sea. The peninsula of Crimea controls the Black Sea. So the first time around, the first come, in the region of the Black Sea, power rested on the foundations of faith. And in the second time around, power will once again rest on the foundations of faith in the region of the Black Sea. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then addressed Zulkarnain. How are you going to deal with these people living in that region? So he replied and said, whosoever is guilty of a wicked conduct, guilty of oppression, guilty of telling monstrous lies so they could use 9/11 to go and wage endless wars, that is wickedness with a capital W, who are now threatening Iran because they say Iran attacked some tankers in the Gulf. Yeah? Monstrous lies. I will say it, but he wouldn't say it because he's scared of his job. I would say it, but he wouldn't. Anyone who is guilty of injustice, of oppression, of unjust conduct, I will punish him. When I am finished with him and he goes to you, you will punish him as well. So when power rests on the foundations of faith, there is harmony between the world here under and the world above. What a wonderful world that is. And whosoever has faith and is righteous in conduct, and that is not exclusive to a follower of Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, you would find a Hindu who is a more honest businessman, who when he gives his word, he keeps his word. Yeah. You'll find a Buddhist who is righteous in his conduct. Gautama Buddha came with a religion and never mentioned anything so much about faith. No. He left it out. Why? Because he wanted to tell the world that regardless of what faith you have, if you do not have right conduct, your faith is not going to take you anywhere. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم. Righteous conduct is absolutely essential. Faith by itself is not enough. What a powerful message from Gautama Buddha. So whosoever is righteous in conduct has faith, I will treat him nicely and reward him, protect him. And so when power rests on the foundations of faith, this is how power was used. It was used like that the first time. And when the second time comes around, it will be used like that another time. And then he traveled in the opposite direction. This is now east, is it? East? The sun still rises in the east. So when he traveled to the east, look at the economy of language that Allah uses just so few words. And you have to struggle with these few words. لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا. Just these words. He came across a people. لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا. He is challenging us to think. But there are those who say, we don't have to think. All the knowledge in the Quran has already been given. It's given by Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and by the Aslaf. And Imran Hussein is out of his place to try to explain something new now. There's no new knowledge. This is Salafi methodology. I have Salafis who are my students, oh yes. But they have abandoned that methodology. No, they don't use that methodology anymore. And so, لَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مِنْ دُونِهَا سِتْرًا. Sitr is a covering. And we did not give them to him. We did not give to them. We did not bestow upon them anything else except this as a covering. So perhaps we might be excused. Allahu A'lam. That Allah is speaking about a primitive people, living a primitive way of life. Orang asli. And Zulkarnain did not come along and say, no, I have to modernize these people. You can't build your houses with bamboo anymore. This is the modern age. We got to bring you into the modern age, and if you don't come, we'll drag you into the modern age. You can't build your houses with bamboo anymore. No, 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 no. Zulkarnain was not so stupid. Kazalik. He had the wisdom He had the integrity. He had the compassion to leave them as they were, undisturbed. Modern Western civilization will never do that. Never. But when Allah uses one word, كذلك, one word, to tell us His response, then we have to ponder why in Surah Al-Rahman He would repeat once, one ayah 31 times. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبًا. Why does He repeat it 31 times? Whereas over here He uses only one word, كَذَلِك, to explain how Zulqarnain responded. You got your homework to do now. If you go to my book, The Quran, The Great War and the West, small, I have attempted to offer an explanation why He has repeated فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا 31 times. And now He travels on a third journey, but they only ask about two. They ask about two, but He knew they wanted the third. And that's why He offered the answer for the third, to tell them, I know what you want. And it is when He traveled in the third direction, to the pass between the mountains, the Quran gives an exact geographical description of the pass. He calls it Bayn al-Saddain. It is in the shape of a shell that is open. And up to today you can see the photographs. It is exactly like that, as an open shell, the Gabriel Gorge. There He came across a people, لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ قَوْلًا, whose language He could not understand, because their language was unique. It was unrelated to any of the regional languages. So we're looking now for a unique language at that area where there's a pass between the mountain ranges, and that is precisely the Georgian language up to this day, unrelated to the languages of the region. When they were able to communicate with each other, then those people said to Him, إِنَّ يَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ مُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ, Gog and Magog are committing fasad in our territory. We are prepared to pay you. If you can do something to protect us, can you build a barrier? Oh, but Zulqarnain has been given the power to pursue whatever objective he chose to pursue. And Zulqarnain uses power to punish the oppressor. And Ya'juj and Ma'juj are human beings because their conduct is wicked. Can they be angels? Oh no. Angels, وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ, they only do whatever Allah orders them to do. So they cannot be angels. Can they be jinn? No, because when He built the barrier, they could not pass. A jinn could pass through. So Gog and Magog have to be human beings. Only human beings can have a conduct which is described as wicked. Only human beings. There are only three categories of beings, only three. There are angels, there are jinn, and there are human beings. Although I am tempted sometimes to add a fourth. I call it the Trojan horse. They're using the Trojan horse now to try to destroy Russia, but I'm not going to tell you anything more about that. Leave that, the Trojan horse. So, Gog and Magog are human beings. And if they are evil in their conduct, he has the power to beat them up. So how does he respond? He should have said, I don't need your money. I don't need to build any barrier or wall. I'll just go and beat them up and give up, teach them the lesson of their lives. He doesn't do that.
No.
He agrees to build the barrier. But they said a sad, and he said radam. They said a barrier, he said a dam, in the shape of a dam. Why does he do that? Because Nabi Muhammad ﷺ explained in the hadith, and this is the first time now, the second time I'm putting a hadith, that Gog is an ummah banu Adam, and Ya'juj is an ummah banu Adam, and Ma'juj is a banu Adam. And Allah has created creatures of His so powerful that none but He can destroy them. This is the Hadith al-Qudsi, Sahih Muslim. So even Zulkarneen cannot destroy Gog and Magog. In the language of chess, you can checkmate them. And that's what he proceeded to do. The first time around, he said, give me blocks of iron. And then with the blocks of iron, he blocked the passageway, so he made like a dam, exactly the shape of a dam. And then he said, give me molten copper, blow with your bellows. And then he poured the molten copper upon the iron. And then he said, now this is from Allah, kindness from Allah. They could neither penetrate it nor could they pass over it. These agents of fasad. I want to pause for a moment to leave Gog and Magog and go to Dabbatul Ard. And I have commented on Dabbatul Ard in two books of mine. The first one is Dajjal, the Quran, and Awwalul Zaman. But the second one is on the Quran, Dajjal, and the Jasad. And I've offered an interpretation of Dabbatul Ard. The first one that I gave about 10, 15 years ago was wrong. This one is more mature. And I spoke about the electromagnetic waves with which we are now inundated. Now they're moving to 5G. And your children are going to be destroyed. Yes, your children are the most vulnerable of all. They'll be destroyed in the sense that their memory will be damaged. And if your memory is damaged, you can't think. And when you cannot think, you'll dance to every tune that the child will play. So, I don't know where he was from, maybe he was Libyan. And he explained to me, he said, Sheikh, let me tell you something. If you want to protect yourself from the electromagnetic waves, one of the ways in which you can do it is with iron. And he says, when you are at a mountainside, our Prophet said the time will come when a believer, in order to protect himself and his family, will have to flee to the mountainside, the places where rain falls, and take with him some sheep and goats. He says the electromagnetic waves cannot penetrate the mountain. And so you're safe on a mountainside. So, he built the barrier with blocks of iron and coated it with copper. And then he says, هذا رحمة من ربي. This is rahmah from my Rabb. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّى وَكَانَ وَعْدُ رَبِّي حَقًّا. But when that time comes of which my Lord has won, he's going to bring down this barrier made of blocks of iron in a pass between two mountains. And when he brings down this barrier, then Gog and Magog will be raised. after they have been released, then obviously the second of the two currents would be possible. The first was before he built the barrier, and the second will be sometime after he built the barrier. Is the barrier still up? In Malaysia, do you have something called Google Earth? Eh? You can sit down in your library and you could go touring the whole world with Google Earth. If the barrier was up to this day, surely someone would have found it. Huh? Where is it? No one has ever seen that barrier. Why? Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is asleep at the home of his wife Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha. And in his sleep, he has a vision. Like Sulaiman alayhi salam had a vision, like Ibrahim alayhi salam had a vision, like Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam had a vision. And he sees something terrible. And he wakes up and his face is flushed all red. And he wakes up saying, "Waylul lil Arab, woe unto the Arabs, min sharrin qad iqtaraba." Because of a great evil which should now come upon them, is close, the Arabs in particular. And then he raised his hands like this and he said, "Today a hole has been made in the barrier, the radam, built by Zulqarnain, indicating that the release of Ya'juj and Ma'juj will commence at this time." She asked, "Will we be destroyed? Will we be destroyed? Even though there are righteous people amongst us?" He said, "Na'am. Either kathur al khabas. He says, "When garbage prevails, then look for the destruction of the Arabs. Today there is even garbage in the money we are using. The paper money we are using is garbage. Minds remain a solitary voice. What can I do? To declare that the monetary system that we now have, given to us by modern Western civilization, is bogus. It's fraudulent. It's utterly haram. It's a vehicle for the exploitation and impoverishment of our people." And the scholars know that. They're not dumb. They're not stupid. They can understand that. But they lack the courage to come forward and speak. Yes. There's garbage all over in the world. There's a political system. Ya Dawood. Surah As-Sad. Ya Dawood. O David. Inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. We hereby appoint you as Khalifa on earth. Fahkum bainan nasi bil haqq. The function of government, the function of law, the purpose for which you have governance, the rule of law, is that people must be governed on the basis of truth. Fahkum bainan nasi bil haqq. And where do you look for truth? Not in some secular university, because Allah is the truth. And the truth comes from Him. Al-haqqu min rabbikum. That's politics. That's my lecture for Friday night, Yawmul Jum'ah at Ricoy, Islam and politics. But today politics is rubbish. Allah made it halal. You make it haram. That's shirk. Is there anyone who differs with me? Is there anyone who differs with me? If Allah made it halal and you make it haram, that's shirk. Allah make it halal for a girl to be married when she has reached the age of puberty and when she has rushd. So when she is 17 years of age, she already is fit for marriage. But the government says now, no, I don't know if there's any government which has resisted them. But even the Islamic Republic of, what used to be the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, now it is the Islamic Republic of Shoeshine Boys of Mohammed bin Salman. What? Even the Islamic Republic of what used to be Pakistan, even they have now passed the legislation ordered by the IMF, of course. We give the order, you must obey. We are La ilaha illallah Muhammad. We are the followers. No, we give the order, you must obey. So the Pakistan National Assembly has now declared a girl cannot be married until she's 18. I don't know if the law is like that in Malaysia as yet. Huh? Already? There you are. All around the world, everywhere, you have to be 18 to get married. Allah made it halal, they made it haram, that shit. So this rubbish prevails in the political world. There's rubbish in the market, the economy, there's rubbish in the monetary system, there's rubbish in the feminist revolution, there's rubbish everywhere. So he said, إِذَا كَثُرَ الْخَبَثُ. When rubbish prevails everywhere, at that time, look for the destruction of the Arabs. When Nabi Isa alayhi salam returns, then Allah says, this is a hadith, Al-Qudsi. Is it Qudsi? I can't remember if it's Qudsi. Anyhow, that Gog and Magog will be sent, not released. And the first of them will pass by the Sea of Galilee and start to drink the water, meaning consume the water. And by the time the last of them pass, they will say, there used to be water here, indicating that the water level in the Sea of Galilee gives us a timeline for the approach of the return of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Today, the water level of the Sea of Galilee is so low that the Sea of Galilee is waiting to die. Waiting to die. When Nabi Isa alayhi salam returns, the first thing that he will do will be to kill Dajjal, the Jasad. And when he is killed, and of course the jinn no longer work for him, that's goodbye to the state of Israel. And then Gog and Magog will attack Nabi Isa alayhi salam. Yes. And he will then pray to Allah, who will then destroy them. And when Gog and Magog are destroyed and Dajjal is killed, it will be a level battlefield now. The odds are no longer with them. And at this time, you will most certainly cite the Jews. He's not speaking about al-Nasara now, not speaking about the Christians. لَتُقَاتِلُنَّ الْيَهُودِ. You, the followers, this ummah, you will fight the Jews. وَلَتَقْتُلُنَّهُ. And you will defeat them. حَتَّى يَكُولُ الْحَجَرَ. At that time, even the rocks and the stones will speak. Ya Muslim, هذا يهودي ورائي فتعال فاقتل. There's a Jew hiding behind me, so come and kill him. I was lecturing at the State University of New York in Stony Brook many years ago, and the Jews were sitting in front of me. And you know, I was young, you have the courage.
So I proclaim this hadith in their faces. So that was before 9/11. You can't do that now after. They went and they complained to the rector. They complained to the rector. Look what this man has said. That the stones and the rocks will speak and say there's a Jew behind me, come and kill him. He is spreading hatred against the Jews. It's called anti-Semitism. So we're waiting for the rector to call me. He never called. He never called. Because these were not my words. This is the word of Nabi Muhammad. And he said, Ballig anni. Ballig anni. Walau aya. Reach out my message. Even if it be one sentence. Reach it out. Don't be afraid to reach his heart. This is the end of Gog and Magog. Prior to this, when they are about to kill, about to attack Nabi Isa alayhi salam, they would say, we have killed those who are on earth. Now let's kill those who are in the skies above. And they'll send their arrows up into the sky. And Allah will cause the arrows to come back down with blood. So they will be convinced they have killed those in the sky. So I scratched my head and I said, this looks like Star Wars to me. This looked like Star Wars to me. This is the mistake I made the first time around in trying to identify Gog and Magog. And I'm forgetting the Quran. This is the mistake I made. I forgot the Quran, Suratul Anbiya, and I concentrated on this hadith. So I said, oh, I understand now. Gog is this fella and Magog is that one, the two superpowers. And they're going to have to fight it out, these two superpowers. Because when Allah brings down the barrier, وَتَرَكْنَا بَعْدَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْدٍ, I have never come across a more difficult passage of the Quran than this here, this one. وَتَرَكْنَا بَعْدَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَمُوجُ فِي بَعْدٍ وَنُفِقَ فِي السُّورِ فَجَمَعَنَّهُمْ جَمَعًا. Better not translate it, leave it. Too difficult. So I said, the Western Alliance, NATO and so on, that's Gog. And the Soviet Union, meaning Russia, that's Magog. No, Imran, wrong. The Soviet Union had within itself a Zionist plant within it. Yes, there was a Zionist plant within the Soviet Union. So that when the 1973 war took place, they were on both sides of the war. That's what they needed for the petrodollar to be born. Yeah. And in 1956, or was it 54, 56, when Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev, early on a Sunday morning when everybody's sleeping, he handed over Crimea, which was Russian territory, to Ukraine without the permission of the Russian people, without the permission of the people of Ukraine, handed it over. Why? Because this is the Zionist mole inside the Soviet Union. So Gog and Magog are located within the Soviet Union. And Gog and Magog are located here. This is the Western Alliance which brought the Jews back to the Holy Land. But one of the most amazing phenomena of the modern age, which could not have escaped the attention of a people who think, but most of all today don't think anymore. I don't know, it's because we're eating too many durian. Jalan Musam King is a very popular jalan. that the Soviet Union collapsed. And overnight, Russia returned to its Orthodox Christian roots, recovered its Orthodox Christian heart after 60, 70 years of relentless oppression of the Orthodox Christian Church. And yet so easily Russia returned to her Orthodox Christian heart, while that side became increasingly barbarian. A man could marry another man and get a marriage certificate, and yet he would still go and play golf with them. Huh? You know who I'm talking about. But on this side, no. Not in Russia. A man cannot marry another man and get a marriage certificate. Not in Russia. Today, Russia has... It's not perfect. They're making mistakes. They made a mistake with Sisi. And now that mistake has come to slap them on their face when Morsi died. They made a mistake with Saudi Arabia for purposes of economic opportunism. So Russia makes mistakes. But overall, Russian political system, politics, diplomacy is the best in the world today. And so I made a mistake when I said that Russia was Magog. No, Russia is not Magog. Rather, Russia is Rum. And Rum is in the Quran. And Rum is Constantinople. And that's the topic of my lecture for Saturday. So I invite you to join me on Saturday, inshallah, at KLCC at 2 o'clock for Constantinople in the Quran. I have presented to you in 1 hour Gog and Magog in the Quran and Hadith. Now then, to conclude, those who use wrong methodology, they looked at only one hadith and they ignored the Quran. And that is disrespect for the Book of Allah. And they said that this hadith says that Gog and Magog will be sent, and they use sent to mean release, after Nabi Isa alayhi salam returns. And therefore there will be no Gog and Magog in the world until Jesus returns. What a mistake they have made. What an embarrassment for them when they're in their graves. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might bless us to always recognize the truth. And when we recognize the truth, to stand up for it, regardless of the price we have to pay. And give us eyes to see that which is false. And when we recognize it as false, to have the courage and integrity to declare it to be false and to stand up against it. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna ya mawlana innaka antat tawwabur rahim bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Ameen.